My guest today is Dr. Eric Tucker. He is interim director of the School of Music at Central Michigan University and also professor of voice and the director of the upcoming musical, The Last 5 Years. Thanks for joining me today.
Good morning, Judy.
First of all, I must tell you that I am sure many others, too, have been so impressed by how you and everyone, faculty, staff, and students at the School of Music have really stepped up to find creative solutions to so many difficult problems this last year, from using larger rooms for classes and lessons and rehearsals to masking up and presenting live concerts on Thursday evenings via Facebook. So thank you for doing all of that and keeping the music going here at CMU.
It is absolutely our pleasure. I mean, I think a very proactive faculty and staff and student body, and, you know, we realize as soon as this thing hit that we had to do something to continue to be able to bring beauty and art to Mount Pleasant and Central Michigan. And so it's like we had to invent ways. We had to learn all about live streaming and the whole hassle of getting rights and everything. But keeping the music coming.
Well, and also, too, the students, the music majors, that's what they're there for. They need to learn how to hone their craft and to perform. They need an audience.
Well, absolutely. I mean, just because we had to shut down and do alternative means, the fact of the matter remains, they're there for a music degree.
Right.
And music is you know, it's an action verb. You know, we make music. And so, you know, finding the creative ways and while at the same time being safe, you know, that's always the difficulty with new studies that come out every week that say what is safe and what isn't safe. So it's most definitely walking a tightrope. Make sure that we're able to stay safe. But I mean, I think the School of Music never at any point through this pandemic has ever had any more than 10 cases of COVID-19 at any given time. And that's amongst 400 students, faculty, and staff.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we got good folks.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, you know, just about a year ago, I spoke with your colleague, Dr. Amanda Pabian, and she was about 3 feet away from me in our studio. Those were the days.
Right.
But we had just learned that last year's opera, Beatrice and Benedict, had just been canceled. And we were so sad and disappointed. It was a huge production, big cast, sets, costumes, lighting, orchestra in the pit. And it had been in the works for months, and it had just been canceled. And as a matter of fact, I believe that she was the last guest in our studio. So,
oh, really?
Yes. So this year you've scaled back for your spring musical or opera production. You've scaled back just a bit. We have The Last 5 Years, and it's a two-person musical. Would you tell us a little bit more about The Last 5 Years?
This is one of those shows that first came to my attention about 20 years ago, right as it was being premiered. I learned about this in Arizona. But it's a very unique story about the marriage of two young folks from New York City, set in the 90s. And what is really interesting about this show is that Jason Robert Brown chose to show the difficulties and the challenges of marriage, but chose to take it from two different timelines. So, for instance, at the beginning of the show, our female, Kathy, is actually at the end of the marriage and the divorce has just gone through. But at the same time, at the beginning of the show, the other character, who is the lead, Jamie, he actually is beginning just his writing career. Things are just starting off, and he's just had his first date. So what happens is that as the show progresses, they kind of meet each other about midway through the show at the proposal. But other than that, they go off in two different directions. And so at the end of the show, Jamie has now learned that the divorce is over, or the divorce is imminent. He's written the final note to her, and yet she is at the place where she has just finished the first date. And so it's really interesting. It's cleverly written, really great music, and really poignant because, you know, quite frankly, as it goes through the stages of the last 5 years of this marriage, I think anyone in a relationship sees themselves somewhere in those 5 years, whether it's the ecstatic joy and love or whether it's the disappointment. He is a workaholic. He's always writing. He's a very successful writer in New York, while she is not a very successful aspiring actress, who's playing small regional theaters, and the disappointment, the pain, a little bit of jealousy, some selfishness, yet all wrapped around very young, immature, and naive love. I mean, those are all things that we've all gone through at some point. So I think it's a very compelling show. I've always wanted to do it. It works out extraordinarily well for us because it is the epitome of socially distanced. I mean, what I just described to you is socially distanced.
Yes, yes.
They only come together. There is only one love-ish duet, which is the proposal in Central Park. Otherwise, they're completely on opposite ends of the stage the entire time. And so as we live stream this, we're going to do something very interesting, which is that we're going to be using three cameras. So we have really close-ups. So it's not just a pan of the stage.
Right.
I think people will really be able, you know, my goal here is that people can see their tongues and their tonsils, right? I want folks to feel like they're sitting on the stage. And because of the camera technology and the great folks we have over the School of Music with Mike Reuter and Sarah Van Adder and Michael Smith, I think we're going to be able to put on a really great performance that is going to be far more valuable than the $7 or $10.
Yes, and as you were talking about the plot of the show, it's so different from many, air quotes here, traditional operas that have all sorts of ins and outs and heroes and villains, and this is just two people. Are they on stage together at the same time?
Only really once when they come together. Otherwise, they're pretty much in their separate apartments and in their separate worlds, which, of course, is the whole point of the show. They were never together. There was never we, us, and our. It was always my, yours, yours and my. And that's why the relationship never lasted.
You're right. That's the ultimate social distancing. So
Yes. For
your cast, you have a young lady and a young gentleman, and Yes. They carry the whole show, obviously. They're on stage the whole time. They don't get a chance to go off and take a breath, have a drink of water.
Well, they do. There are a couple of exits, but primarily they are on stage in their apartments pretty much throughout the entire night. And there is no intermission. It just runs straight through. And it's about an hour 25. But it's just very interesting. I mean, like I say, we all find ourselves in that show at some point in time.
Yes, yes. Is there a pit orchestra?
As a matter of fact, we're very fortunate this year because our string faculty will be playing. It's a very light orchestration. It's string players and piano. There's not even a drum trap set, which is so rare for any musical theater.
This is such a perfect vehicle for what's going on right now. It's just great that you were able to find it and get the rights. And how did that work out for you?
Well, the rights were very interesting because I worked on getting the rights for this back late summer, early fall, when I decided that's what I wanted to do. And I could get the rights, but I could not get the streaming rights. Because, as you know, typically speaking, staged performances are not meant to be broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make archival copies, but you can't certainly be showing them to people, and you can't be showing them to people on the Internet. So Broadway realized that, okay, if we're going to stay alive, we too have to make some changes. So they started selling rights for streaming rights. And then you have such agencies like showtixforyou.com, which is how this is managed. That's where folks buy tickets. And then they get a code by which they're able to watch the show that we are live streaming to showtixforyou.com.
Mm-hmm.
And anyhow, but with last 5 years, I didn't even get the streaming rights until about 2 months later. Because not only had Jason Robert Brown not given the authority for streaming rights, but it was tied up because it's also a movie. So there were several hoops to go through. And it was about in November. It wasn't until November that I knew I was going to be able to live stream the show. But I decided I was doing the show anyhow. Because while it is critical to have an audience, it is critical to be able to present. But as we mentioned earlier, it is far more important in my mind as an educational institution to be providing the opportunities for these students who want to go out and become professional performers.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
So if I was just doing this show in the auditorium for two sets of parents and a godmother in a mask, it would be worth it, you know?
Yes. Could you tell us a little bit about the cast, the people that are performing?
Certainly. I've double cast the show, mm-hmm. so there are three performances. But that was, once again, to give more opportunities. And also, you just never know, right? I mean, if someone gets quarantined, then the show can't just completely go under. So I have our female leads are being played by Elena Zelenko and Catherine Witkowski, who are both natives of Gladwin, Michigan. And then the two guys are Seth Patterson, who is from Grayling, Michigan, and Brandon Chu, who is from Grand Rapids. And an interesting story, Brandon Chu chose to come back to CMU because he left without finishing his degree because he got scarped up for playing Lun Tao in the national touring show of King and I.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So he took off and started performing. And then when COVID-19 came, it was like, okay, the world is getting shut down. You might as well get back here and finish up this education. So he comes with some significant performing skills, as do they all. But it's great cast. It is a great cast.
Yes, and for them to be on stage for that whole time, that's a lot of heavy lifting for those young singers.
Yes, it is. But you know, you put your money on good horses. You play the good horses, and I've got four great horses.
Can you tell us a little bit about the music from the show?
Well, the music is crazy interesting because He traverses at least five or six musical styles. There's kind of like a rock tune, but not like heavy, obviously, if the violins are playing, but kind of a rock tune, then folksy, then a little bit of vaudevillian, then some ballads. And the songs really tell stories. The songs usually are 5 to 6 minutes long. I think there may be like 12 songs. It's not, when you look at the roster of songs, it's not like, okay, this is going to be a long show. But yet the songs are very involved, and some of the lyrics are just heartbreaking. You know, once again, I mean, you're looking at the dissolution of a marriage over 5 years for two different people who see it coming at two different times,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which is really quite interesting.
So we talked a bit about the music and the songs, and what about the composer?
Well, the composer is quite interesting. Jason Robert Brown, of course, has written some very successful musicals such as The Bridges of Madison County and Parade. Last 5 years was one of his first shows, and he also has songs for New World. So about 4 or 5 years ago, one of my friends worked with him actually in doing a production of Parade down in Southern Michigan. So I thought it was kind of intriguing that a man of his stature was making himself available to come outside of the city and work in, because this was with college down in Southern Michigan. So I thought, I wonder if there's a possibility that he would be willing to work with my students.
Mm-hmm.
And especially given this time of COVID-19, I thought we could do this on a Zoom meeting. We wouldn't have to afford the expense of flying people in and housing people and all that. And plus, would just basically be an hour and a half of his day in the comfort of his own apartment. So I found his manager's number. And I gave his manager a call, and by golly, Jason Robert Brown was more than happy to work with the cast.
Nice.
So we got about an hour and a half of his time, undivided, on a 70-inch TV screen right in front of these kids. I mean, that had to be terrifying because they were singing his music, and he was like, you know, he was bigger than life, clearly, in the hall. And it was a really wonderful opportunity for them because he asked some really searing questions. He's I would say that he's very direct, very thorough, gracious, but very very demanding, which is exactly as it should be. I mean, it's professional.
Mm-hmm.
So he asked the kids some tough questions. He had them change things. He stopped things a lot. And so it was a wonderful experience that I think those students should remember for the rest of their lives. And that was probably something that we were only able to manage because of Zoom and because of the limitations of COVID-19.
Another one of those little silver linings. You know, sometimes you just have to ask the questions, you know, to ask if he would do it, and he did. And like you said, the students will remember that forever. What a valuable experience for them.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Right.
I mean, the worst they can say is no.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, yes.
No, that was a great opportunity.
And it does sound like this show is very emotional, and that I'm sure that the students learned a lot from the composer.
Oh, yeah. Well, because the fact be told, the last 5 years is autobiographical. Mm-hmm. It is the story of Jason Robert Brown and his first wife, although they had to make some changes to it. There were some legal issues, but something that was very telling. You know, it's easy as you watch this show to say he's the bad guy or she's the bad guy. And the fact of the matter is, what Jason Robert Brown made very clear was these two kids just had no idea what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
They had no business getting married. They were too young. They were both idealistic in what they were trying to do with their own careers, and they just didn't know what they were doing. So when you look at it through the composer's lens, you realize that this is not the show. It also gave me a good insight on how to change some of the directing choices I was making, because no one's a villain here. You walk away no foul. We just shouldn't have done this.
Right. Like we mentioned before, many operas have the hero and the villain.
Right. And so this is not one of those cases. This is like, these were two aspiring dumb kids who had no business getting together at this point of their lives. I think that's very telling. It's not one of guilt or shame. It's just one of, oh, man, I didn't think this thing through.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, like you mentioned before, I think most of us have been there in some way or another, in some sort of relationship or friendship or somehow.
Absolutely. I mean, it's all a part of life.
Yes, yes. So anyone who purchases a ticket and gets the code and watches the last 5 years via live stream, anyone could relate.
Yes. Yes, clearly.
Yes. Dr. Tucker, would you give us the particulars about the performance, dates, times, how to get tickets, that sort of thing?
Absolutely. So our performances for the last 5 years occur on Thursday the 18th, Friday the 19th, and Saturday the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
We deliberately chose to do opening night on the Thursday, since a lot of our patrons are used to tuning in on the Thursday night live from Staples. However, the difference with this is that this is a ticketed event for which they'll need to purchase one. And so tickets are $7 for students and seniors, $10 for everybody else. And I believe the cost for a movie ticket is about $15. So we're still like way under. And the way you access this is you can do this from the School of Music website, but it is showtixforyou.com. And that's show, S-H-O-W-T-I-X, the numeral 4, and then the letter U.com. And you can purchase them there. They will give you a code to watch the show on the night for which you purchase a ticket.
That's easy to do.
This is a first for us, so we'll see how this goes.
Yes, Showtix, S-H-O-W-T-I-X, numeral 4, letter U.com. And purchase your ticket, you get a code, and you tune in and experience the last 5 years. And that should be really interesting. And like you said, a brand new thing for the School of Music, part of what you've had to do for this last year to keep the music coming, not only for the audiences all over the planet, but for the students as they learn.
Absolutely.
And pursue their degrees in music.
Absolutely.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about the last 5 years and the CMU School of Music?
I think lastly, I would just like to take this opportunity to thank everybody out there who has been so supportive of us, who have tuned in to our performances that we've been doing. We've still been receiving donations, people with their giving for our scholarships. Truly, Central Michigan believes in the School of Music. And administration as well. I'd like to thank everybody. We are a blessed bunch of people, and we get to make beauty and art and bring it to people every day of the week. So thank you all ever so much.
And thank you so much, Dr. Eric Tucker, Interim Director of the School of Music at Central Michigan University, also Professor of Voice, and Director of the upcoming production of The Last 5 Years. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Judy. All the best.